Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 259. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm finally back. It feels like it's been a while, which it honestly kind of has. Back at Sick-Witted Studios, it's been a while, so let's hit it. I've missed it, so let's rock and roll. All right, episode 159. We entitled hashtag fist bump. This is what we spoke about 100 episodes ago at MemDB and at For the Villain. Or 2 days late. Well, there you go. 2 weeks late. But play catch-up on life, then hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Oh, okay, so I had started it recently, prior to that one, I believe. Football talk, we hit NFL week 4 predictions, then go what the fuck news. 2-year-old boy sneaks out of house to take his tiny BMW for a spin. That was just a fun article because it was legit like a Power Wheels BMW car. He's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go out for a fucking spin. That's legit what happened. Hashtag man of the week. Husband puts whining wife up for sale on eBay. All right. There you go. We hit teen reportedly dies from girlfriend's hickey. That was a fucking thing, actually, that had happened, and there was a hickey warning at the time. I don't know. It's kind of weird. If you guys are curious about that, just look it up online or go back 100 episodes ago. Then roll a bit of sex facts. New microchip implant in couples can notify you if your significant other is cheating. Then touch comic talk, comic news, Margot Robbie producing Harley Quinn Suicide Squad spinoff, which it's in the works, and right now I believe they've shot some glimpses and pieces already. Disney is planning Star Wars films beyond 2021. Stan Lee has already filmed 4 cameos for Marvel. So unfortunately, again, 200 episodes constitutes to a year ago. Well, we spoke about 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years ago. Fuck me, it's been a while, guys. Bear with me. Doctor Strange will officially appear in Avengers Infinity War. John Favreau to direct live-action Lion King movie. Oh, so that's going to be coming out in our summer movie draft within the next month, I believe, which actually when I'm at San Diego, and I will go into that right now. Then end up with the clusterfuck of lack of sleep on at For the Villains part. It's nice to know nothing has changed in 2 years and 100 episodes later. So I was probably just venting, which I'm probably going to do today. So that would make perfect sense. We hit comic reviews, Raven number 1, Superman number 7, Extraordinary X-Men Annual number 1, Trinity number 1, and The Vision, number 11. It was a 12-issue arc, Scott Snyder. Oh, no, Tom King was writing that one for Marvel before he signed his exclusive deal with DC. It was a great fucking title. All right, guys, we're just going to hit it. I'm going to hit it real quick. Bullet points. I'm going to go into just my weekend real quick. I forget how much I work sometimes, and I forget how much I burn myself out with this second job and even with this third job sometimes. Finding the time to record and being able to record in a space or room, allotted room, I guess, where I can record properly. And just with small things that have happened in life that keep throwing wrenches into my system and into my game plan has thrown me off with a lot of things, and rolling with the punches kind of fucking sucks balls sometimes, but I'm a fighter and I get through it, and I have a lot of things planned. I'll go into that right now because my bullet points, first of all, are going to be 2 weeks ago. I went to Disneyland. I visited Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which was actually pretty dope. Hit the Smuggler's Run. The experience of just being there, the interactivity, the theme of the place, the cast. I'll go into that real quick. It's just pretty much once you get into the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, it feels honestly like you're in a fucking Star Wars world, which is really dope. Just to have that and to experience it, and the way the land is cut off, you can't even see anything from... Sorry, babe, give me 1 second. Roxy, I'll play with you once I'm done. So, just to go through that and to be in a different land is dope. And if you like Star Wars, you're going to love the fuck out of this place. One of my coworkers today went this past week in Rosana, and she's not a fan of much. And her taste in movies is not the best. It's not that great, honestly. But yeah, she's not a fan. Hey, Roxy. So to have her tell me I didn't like it, it's like, no, it's not something for you at all. If you're a Star Wars fan, though, you're going to love it. And again, like I just said, the interactivity of what you can do in the Disneyland app you can use to interact with just different things you can do around the land is kind of cool. There's a ride that hasn't opened up yet, which they haven't necessarily even announced that launch date yet. But even to do the Millennium Falcon, the Smuggler's Run, it's dope. I mean, if you guys are not local to California, I don't want to say Orange County, but if you guys do make a trip out here to Anaheim, and if you guys do Disneyland, it's a trip worth making and taking if you're a Star Wars fan. I loved it. We were allotted a reservation of 4 hours. We saw everything fucking quick. There's so much I want to hit. So this is going to be a crazy short show because I have more work to do. And I'll go into that shortly. But yeah, just to experience it, if you're a fan, it was dope. To see a life-size scale Millennium Falcon is awesome. Once you jump on the ride, the line... Wow, let me go into that real quick. So we jump into the Millennium Falcon ride line, and it's like a 25-minute wait, which is not bad Disneyland standards at all. And granted, you needed a reservation to get into this part at this particular time. So we have 4 hours from 5 to 9, and we get there, and one of the boys, Andrew, says, let's do the single rider pass line. And we're like, you know what, fuck it, we've never been here, let's get on quick. And then he got weirded out, and he kind of felt bad. He's like, I have a feeling we're missing a lot of things on the line queue right now. And I'm like, fuck, dude, you're right. I'm like, I was co-signing your bullshit, dude. I'm like, let's bounce. Let's go jump back in line. So we jump back in line. We bail from the single rider line. And granted, the first time I've used the single rider line the whole day at Disneyland, which was actually kind of cool because we got on a lot of rides really quick. Which is an interesting thing because it was something I've never used or done before. But now I'm going to take advantage of that as much as I can. So anyways, we take off from the line, pass by about 200 people. Excuse me. No joke, 100 people plus. Jump back in line. By the time we jump back in the Smuggler's Run line, the line by this point is like 45 minutes. We're like, fuck. We think we fucked up. So we start walking the land and just checking out everything we can do and try to hit the canteen and check out the shops and everything. It's a really cool experience. Again, I'm not going to take away from that aspect of it. The cast was great. They're constantly in character and I enjoyed it. It was kind of corny, but it's really cool that they completely stayed in character. It was dope. To see everything is beautiful. So anyways, we jump back in line proper this time. Line's back down to like 25 minutes. We do the line queue. We don't miss anything crazy. There's a bunch of things you can do while you're waiting with this park app, for the most part, the Disney park app. And you can interact once you walk into this world, this portion of Disneyland. You can use the app, which is the interactivity is still pretty cool and really user friendly. So I'm going somewhere with this for a particular reason. So to experience it, we jump online and we finally get on through the ride. It's a 6-person ride. If you guys are not good with motion rides, I don't know which part of the U.S. you guys or what part of the country, wherever you guys might be, listeners, wherever you guys might be from. A motion ride. So, oh my gosh, out here we have like a Soaring California Adventure. I know that sounds terrible. The old Back to the Future ride. Star Tours. If any of you guys have been on Star Tours, it's a motion ride. So you see a screen and it interacts with, you know, what you do in a weird way. So you have two pilots and one is your co-pilot as well. So one person is steering you left and right. The other one is pushing or pulling you guys up and down. There's two gunners behind them and two, executioners. Two tech people behind that. And everyone's kind of interconnected, but the way the screen is, it's dope. First time getting on, I was a gunner. So I felt initially first time on the ride was that I don't have control. Like, this feels, like, odd. Like, I'm getting, like, I don't feel so hot. The vertigo aspect was kind of kicking in a little bit for me. So, I'm like, I don't know how much I like this ride. Anyways, we did something, either took too much damage or even that particular ride. And let me go back to the ride. We do the line queue. They set you up properly and you end up in the Millennium Falcon cockpit, which is fucking dope, guys. You can see the little chess table and you can take pictures there and you can take pictures and then they let you into the cockpit, which is dope. They take you down the corridors to get you to the ride proper, and It's just dope. You're walking down the corridor like you're on the Millennium Falcon. It felt good to experience it, and it just was awesome to do it. Again, minus the ride. Sucked for me. I mean, I wasn't feeling so hot. But again, we broke the ride, apparently. I hit up people on Facebook where we posted it up, and it's like, have you guys experienced this yet? I haven't had time, honestly, to hit up anyone back, and just haven't had the time for the most part to do it. So one person did say, yeah, we broke it too. So we broke it at a certain part. I don't want to ruin any part of the ride. And even the breakdown of the ride, quote unquote, was kind of cool, because the guy who's in charge of the ride, who puts you on your mission, kind of breaks down and pops up on the computer screen, and he's like, I don't know what you did. Push all the buttons. You guys need to get out of there right now. So the engineers are going crazy, and the gunners were like pushing buttons to, you know, try to shoot our way out. And we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know if this was part of the ride. So it was just a funny experience. We're in there for about 4 to 5 minutes, which isn't a long time, but technically it's a long time to be stuck on a ride. So the way the interactivity with this computer screen, this monitor, this dude keeps telling us, like, you owe me a lot of credits for this. And then he starts chewing you out, and it's like, is this part of the ride? This is kind of a crappy ride. But it was just pretty much precautionary, I guess, because we can feel now the ride shut down, and we're moving back into the slot where the ride, quote-unquote, is supposed to be in the queue, which, you know, if you know any rides, that's how they work. So each quarter, I don't even know how many rides there are. There got to be at least maybe 5 or 6 cockpits, possibly. So they walk you down. Each quarter takes you to a different one. 6 people can ride the ride. We broke it, apparently. So in character, somebody finally comes 4 to 5 minutes later, and in character, he's like, you guys have to continue the mission. We're going to send you on the next ship, and completely in character. What'd you guys do? And they're chewing this out, and one of them is all panicked, like, hurry up, we need to get you on the next ship. So kind of cool. They're still in character the whole time. Get us on. By this time, I'm one of the pilots, and now that I have, I guess, control of the ride now, and as a pilot, you can control the ride. And I felt more in control by that point, obviously, and it's like, okay, now this is a better experience for me, at least. So it would make sense if you guys don't like motion rides like that. Like, I hated the old Simpsons ride at Universal Studios because the motion would throw me off, because you're looking pretty much at a fucking movie screen as this ride's moving, and you have no control, and this ride is just moving and jolting as, you know, the ride progresses. So it was a cool experience. Did that. So technically we rode it 1.5 times. We jumped on it again. It was a cool ride. Just the experience in general for Disneyland and Star Wars Galaxy Edge and riding everything and experience it was dope. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. It just felt good. We saw everything in 3 hours. Like, we rode the Millennium Falcon ride, geez, 3.5 times, because technically we broke it. And it was dope and fun. We got to see everything again there. So I had a great time. It's going to be crazy nuts once it opens proper, which I believe is still, I think might have been yesterday or today, it properly opens. So I had a great time. Besides that was my only downtime that I've had for myself, really, I guess, in a weird way. I had off last weekend, so I needed a day off to recover. I've been trying to get out more, especially because I don't want to keep myself locked up, which that sounds weird, but I'm always busy working at the second job or working on these shows and podcasts, and I'll go there too. So I really just wanted to give hardcore love on Star Wars, because Star Wars Celebration 2020 is right here in my backyard, across the street from me at Anaheim once again. The last time I was here about 4 years ago, they were able to get us in for press. So I'm going to shoot for press as well. Those passes did sell out. The 4-day passes sold out this past weekend, and I believe the Saturday full day also sold out. It is still closed for press media at the moment, so I need to keep on checking that up so I can fill out my media credentials list and try to get in. Hopefully I do get in. So yeah, just want to give Disney some love, because I love Disney. Anyways, it is expensive as heck and fuck, but it's Disneyland. What do you expect? All right. So that's Disney's celebration. All right. Issues I have with people at Disneyland. Oh God. All right. We broke the Millennium Falcon. I mean, I guess that's about it, dude. Idiots on water rides, like people that actually jump on a water ride, so Splash Mountain, and actually have to buy one of those plastic get-ups. It's like, what's the point? I just don't get it. Yeah. All right, man. That's what we got. Okay. Interview and interview prospects for, okay, the next few podcasts. Okay. So a lot has been going on in my life. Since March, it's been a clusterfuck and just a lot of bummer news, a lot of bummer things that have been happening in my personal life. And it takes a toll on you emotionally and still me trying to keep busy with both jobs and even the podcast, all three of them, honestly. I got some bad news a few weeks ago, and it's not bad news at all. Like, it's really not. I know what I'm going to do. I have a bunch of things written up for all three podcasts now. So first of all, for Comic Syndicate, I'm not going to go anywhere. Like, this is the baby. This is the flagship, straight up. That's not going to go anywhere. Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is not going anywhere. I have so many written up already. I'm probably going to attack one tonight as soon as I'm done recording this. Again, back home at Sick-Witted Studios. So it feels good to flex these muscles. It's going to be a little bit different, so that's going to be interesting to play out and do a full, you know, my homework, I guess, for a Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes solo show. If you guys are curious, please feel free to ask. Please feel free to bombard anyone you want. I mean, that's about it. I don't have anything to say. It's going to be a solo act for now, although I do have prospects for potential co-hosts and probably like rotating co-host for that one, because I want to pick people's brains and bring different people into account and like, let's break down this topic subject or, you know, whatever I have that's interesting that other people could find and interesting and bring something interesting to the table. Last one, Audio Chronicles. I haven't been sleeping on that at all. I haven't had the time to go meet people properly and find the time to sit down with them and actually interview them. I have two interviews that I'm working on. One of them is actually a pool man. I know it sounds odd that took a different, I guess, business route in his life. And he opened up a shop. And we're going to talk about the shop he opened up out of, you know, leaving the pool shop. I know that's a little bit of a teaser. Next one is going to be an interview with an MMA fighter, straight up, UFC fighter. I've had my boy Gilbert Melendez on, geez, a few years ago. So, again, 100 episodes that constitutes 2 years ago. So I interviewed Gilbert about maybe about two and a half years by this point. My boy El Nino, he's been a fighter. He's been a champion in Strikeforce before. So I'm working on an interview with a grip load of people and inside MMA type of deal. So if you guys don't like the pop culture, or even if you guys want something different, like, holy shit, this guy's bringing everything to the table. I'm fucking bringing everything to the fucking table, and I'm not going to stop that either. It's my baby. It's honestly its own fucking network for the most part. I mean, the Comic Syndicate. Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes brought to you by the Comic Syndicate. Audio Chronicles brought to you by the Comic Syndicate. So that's pretty much that's it. They were going to be their own separate entities. And you know what? No, I own these babies, so they're all mine. And they're my fucking toys that I'm going to share with everyone now. All right, guys. That's all I got for that. All right, man, we'll keep it short and tight, or as tight as I can. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. And you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. Let's rock and roll. It's been a while since I've done this. So I'm just compiling all the news that I got, everything, key points. I'm going to ramble on a little bit. I'm going to try to cut out all the fat and get you a tight show. Before anything, this is comic talk. So the Comic Syndicate started for a particular reason, and it wasn't for this reason at all. But I got my confirmation email last week from San Diego Comic-Con, and the email they're going to meet. Email. They're going to snail mail me my proper badge. I should be getting this within this week. It's Monday, the, oh my God, the 24th of June as I'm recording this. It's been a while since I've recorded one of these on a Monday, so trying to get all my days back together and on track for myself is a weird thing. But yeah, I'm in for San Diego Comic Con. I'm getting emails already about interview spots and opportunities, and it's work. It's fun work, but it's my work, and it's not a vacation when I go out there. It's really not. I'm going to stay at the same spot I stayed at last year at Hotel Circle, and I'm going to hit up Mr. Peabody's. I love the fuck out of that little spot. If you guys are out there, let's rock and roll. It's a dope spot. I'll take you. So, yes, waiting on passes for that. That's speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, there are a grip load of Comic-Con exclusives that are going to be going up, and just a few of them. If you guys are curious, I'm not going to go through the whole list. Go to San Diego Comic Con 2019 exclusives. There's an Optimus Prime Ghostbusters that I want to pick up. That's just for me. I would love to pick up two, and honestly, probably try to eBay one. I never normally want to be that guy, but fuck it. All right, here we go. Comic Talk. Report Halloween sequel, Ain 2020 release date. A new report suggests the follow-up to 2018's Halloween is slated for release next October, with director David Gordon Green expected to return behind the camera. That's what's her name coming back again? And I missed it. I love scary movies and, sequels or remakes I don't really care for. It looked good, though, that they had her back. I still haven't seen it, so there you go. This one I am. Speaking of Ghostbusters, Sigourney Weaver will return for 2020 film. Sigourney Weaver confirms she'll reprise the role of Dana Barrett in Jason Reitman's upcoming Ghostbusters film. All right. Steven Spielberg is writing a horror series you can only watch at night. Legendary filmmaker Steven Spielberg is set to write a new horror series for Quibi that in a creative twist can only be viewed at night. Kind of curious. So that fact that he's finally working on something again, and although it's episodic, I'm kind of curious about that. This one came out recently. I know a lot of these news are going to be jumbled, but this one is just hilarious. Religious activists petition Netflix to cancel Amazon Prime's Good Omens. Good Omens was a novel, straight up proper novel, that was written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. It's a great fucking novel. It's a great book. It's pretty much an angel and a devil, a minion of the devil are best friends, and they're trying to bring up or actually stop the end of the world, the apocalypse, the rapture from happening, everything, the apocalypse of the world, and it's just really interesting. I read the book, but I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan. This is hilarious to me, though, so legendary. Nope. An American religious organization launched a petition to pull Amazon's adaptation of Good Omens, but addressed the petition to Netflix instead. Over 20,000 Christians have signed an online petition for Netflix to pull the television adaptation of Good Omens, evidently unaware that the miniseries is produced and available on Amazon Prime Video. Okay, look. People are overly sensitive about a lot of shit, and I was having this conversation. Saw Roy and Bernie last week. I haven't seen them in a while, but we're coming from a different generation, and we're the last of a fucking dying breed. The generations that are coming out now are just too pussy out and get overly sensitive for no fucking reason, and they just want to bitch and moan and cry about fucking anything. It's fucking really sad to see these pussies out in the world. And you know what? If I'm talking shit on Christians, I'm a Christian as well, dude. I'm just the last of a dying breed. I'm not going to bitch about stupid shit like this. It's a movie, and it's not even a mockery of religion. It's just a fucking story, dude. Which technically, I have not written the Bible. I've read the Bible, and guess what? Those are all stories, too. So this one was interesting, though, because even Neil Gaiman jumps in, and he says, do I have his direct quote? I do not have it, but this is pretty cool. Amazon itself responded to the identity mix-up, and they tweeted, "Hey, at Netflix, we'll cancel Stranger Things if you cancel Good Omens." So they were just picking fun at it, which I thought was hilarious and funny. All right. I didn't hit a lot of DC news last time I hit it. Fuck me. 2 weeks ago, I want to say now. Jeez, my days and weeks are running into each other again. Report Matt Reeves' The Batman may feature Robin. All right. Kind of interesting. Nobody knows who Robin is, and depending on which Robin they do introduce is a good thing. I would say introduce Dick Grayson first. I mean, they could introduce Jason Todd or, you know, yeah, I don't know which one I would want. I love them all. Like, Jason Todd, give me the asshole that no one really likes. Give me the bastard. He's kind of cool. He's the one that the Joker killed this particular Robin, and I love each of them. Dick Grayson became Nightwing. Jason Todd became Red Hood, and Tim Drake became Red Robin. So, and then Damian Wayne right now is the current Robin. I love them all. Give me more of that. All right, anyways, Batman writer. So the current writer of Batman proper comics, Tom King, is co-writing the New Gods movie with Ava DuVernay. So Batman and Mr. Miracle and Vision, writer Tom King will co-write Warner Brothers' New Gods film with Ava DuVernay, who's a director. There's no release date for that one yet, but she is the writer of and director of Selma and A Wrinkle in Time, or director, I guess. The fact that they're pulling in Tom King for a project like this is really cool, especially because I haven't seen a good DC movie yet, and I haven't seen Aquaman yet, so I can't say anything about that, and Shazam. So even in saying that, I still haven't seen a good DC movie yet. All right, Black Adam, Dwayne Johnson's DC finally, movie finally lands director. The Black Adam finally, movie finally picks up a director, inching one step closer to release after years of delay. All right, interesting. Confirmed. Wow, this one's interesting, guys. All right, confirmed. Swamp Thing canceled after one season. CBR, so Comic Book Resources, has confirmed DC Universe's Swamp Thing has not been picked up for a second season, effectively canceling this series. Dropped last week on, so this was about 2 to 3 weeks by now. It was dropped on DC Universe, and that weekend it was dropped, they canceled it already. It was initially cut from 13 to 10 shows, and it was interesting because there were reports, like, was it the budget? Was it creative differences? And it was a mix-up also with an accounting error, which was really odd to see, but that's an odd thing to happen. I mean, granted, Netflix did do that with the Marvel shows. And once Daredevil dropped season 3, Jessica Jones, everything, dropped their pulling, Punisher as well. Now, this is the weird thing. So, Warner Media, back to Warner Brothers. Warner Media is reevaluating DC Universe's streaming service. Warner Brothers, or Warner Media, is reportedly reconsidering the DC streaming services plan in its larger streaming plans. According to Deadline, DC Universe is being reevaluated to see how it fits into Warner Brothers. Warner Media's plans, let's keep doing that, which center on Warner Media branded streaming service that's set to launch within the next few years. All right, so DC Comics put out this DC Universe app, and you can pay for it, and subscription service, and because Warner Media is the bigger banner behind it, just like Disney is going to launch their streaming service platform soon, I believe in November, Warner Media wants to do the same thing. So it almost looks like they're canceling everything on DC Universe, but they're still charging people for it, although they are doing a second season of Titans. I haven't checked out anything on DC Universe yet. I'm curious, but this is all just weird stuff. Warner Brothers, Stone Warner Brothers, will have supersized San Diego Comic Con present. Despite skipping Hall H back in November last year, or this past year, DC's blog revealed the comic publisher will join its parent company to form one supersized space at the convention. So again, Warner Brothers and Warner Media just taking steps to, I don't know what the fuck their thing is. Next one is still going to be DC. This one was interesting because I grew up, I'm a fucking Vertigo kid. DC retires Vertigo, combines all imprints under a singular banner. DC will retire its current imprints, including Vertigo, in favor of three labels, each focusing on the DC brand. DC has announced that all of its content will be organized and marketed under three age-specific labels, DC Kids, DC, and DC Black Label. So the new labeling system result in imprints like Vertigo, DC, Zoom, and DC Inc. being retired. Current titles under these imprints will be absorbed into one of the three labels. Okay, the best way to describe Vertigo Comics is for mature readers, honestly, straight up. So you got the Sandman, you got the Swamp Thing, you got Animal Man, you got these fucked up, twisted, obscure characters with a grittier take on life and superheroes. Was a great imprint, and a lot of great titles. The Sandman came from that world. So Neil Gaiman, back to him and his writing, how I got interested in, let me pick up a novel by Neil Gaiman. If his writing in comics is as good, which it is, by the way. I've read all his novels. He's a great writer. I love writers. So that it's gone now is kind of a sad thing. Like, Vertigo was and is the shit, and I loved it because it was a mature reader, again, thing, entity, and now that's gone. And when a kid like me at 13, 14, 15 years old probably shouldn't have been reading a lot of those stories, find yourself The Sandman. Trade paperback number one, guys. It's a great read, and they deal with a lot of gnarly, grounded topic pieces, and they still hold up. Like, they completely hold up. So anyways, that was a bummer, but it's all the darker stuff is probably going to be under the imprint Black Label, which they are cussing in these. They are showing Bruce Wayne's cock. I know it sounds odd, but I never wanted to hit it like everyone was going to hit it. Anyways, it sounds funny. Report Ezra Miller's Flash movie films after Fantastic Beasts 3. Ezra Miller signed on to play the Flash for Warner Brothers and DC in 2014 with promises of a solo movie in 2018. Since then, he's appeared in Justice League while fruition. While also having come out in Suicide Squad. Okay, so they're finally going to work on that after Fantastic Beasts 3. Haven't seen that. Don't know if I care. All right, here we go. Comic news, I guess. Still, we're back to Batman Catwoman artist teases Mask of the Phantasms DC Universe's debut. Batman Mask of the Phantasms titular character will make her DC Universe debut in Tom King and Clay Mann's Batman and Catwoman. All right, let's see what we got. Do I want to hit any of our Marvel news? How important is it? I have a short and sweet review. Honestly, I haven't had enough time for much. So, Sony's Spider-Man spinoffs will remain standalone films. Amy Pascal, who produced Spider-Man Homecoming, the Oscar winner, winning Into the Spider-Verse and the upcoming Far From Home, spoke with Screen Rant about the spinoffs while on a press tour for the latter's release. In response to a question regarding tying the Sony films into the MCU, she replied, "The most important thing is that each of these movies can stand on their own. So I think the first thing for us to think about is Venom has to stand on its own. Far From Home has to stand on its own. Spider-Verse has to stand on its own. They have to be great movies themselves. And then the possibilities are endless." Just really interested. If you guys were a 90s kid like I am, 80s I guess, but 90s is the wheelhouse for 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. X-Men, the animated series, team approaching Disney about continuation. And X-Men, the animated series, revival could be in the works as the creative team plans to approach Disney with a pitch. Is that a thing? It'd be interesting to bring it back now. I don't have time to watch TV anyways, so am I going to get to watch it? Probably not, but just to have it back would be cool. Back to X-Men. Dark Phoenix projected for major financial losses is sad news. Dark Phoenix, the final installment in Fox's X-Men franchise, stands to lose a lot of money if current projections for its total earnings hold true. $140 million globally, $33 million it made domestically. It lost a lot of money. It lost $100 to $120 million. And it's after its third week out, which I believe this weekend is going to be its third week out, they're going to pull it from the theater completely, guys. So if you guys get a chance, go watch it. I almost had a chance to watch The Dead Don't Die this weekend at a second job. And apparently I don't have all the time I think I do. All right, let's see what I got. Okay, here's an interesting piece of news since I'm going to go into comic talk real quick, or comic review. Spider-Man, J.J. Abrams and Son team with Marvel for new series. The reason for Marvel Comics' webbed countdown has been revealed. Star Wars mastermind J.J. Abrams will pen a Spider-Man comic with his son Henry, while artist Sarah Pacelli, or artist Dope, and colorist Dave Stewart provide interior artwork. According to the New York Times, the new Spider-Man miniseries will introduce an original villain called Cadaverous, who will cause problems for Spider-Man, his alter ego, Peter Parker, and his beloved Mary Jane. The story takes place over five issues. The story shows Peter Parker in a way that you haven't seen him before, J.J. Abrams teased. All right, guys. I'm just stoked. I really don't know if J.J. Abrams has written a comic. If he has, I haven't read any of his book. But he has a good mind for pop culture, and he loves these characters, and he loves the world of the Wars of Stars. So that he's going to be on the final episode of Star Wars, I'm totally down for. And if he's going to write a comic, especially Spider-Man, I'm in. All right, guys, this is going to be a short and sweet review. Again, have not had time for much, let alone any downtime. For myself, this is one of the few things I did write and write about, and this is what I'm going to review. It's a DC comic. This is an event that's going on in DC Comics right now. The name of this title is going to be Event Leviathan Number 1. This title is, first of all, written by Brian Michael Bendis. He was all about Marvel Comics and for Marvel Comics for the last, 15 to 16, 17 years. He's a great killer writer. He's written every fucking character. It seems like he created a Miles Morales Spider-Man. He wrote X-Men. He wrote everything for Marvel again for the most part. Since he got an exclusive deal for with DC Comics, I honestly have not read any of his work. His first title he got put on is Superman. I'm not a Superman fan, and I want to say Action Comics is what it is. I'm not a Superman fan, so it's hard for a writer that can change my thought process to make me think Superman is an intriguing character to me, because he's not, to me at least. Even with Brian Michael Bendis on board, it's like, okay, I can finally read Superman now. Honestly, still haven't done it, so this is the first thing that I've read. So again, Brian Michael Bendis is a writer. Alex Maleev has great art. If you want to pull up Alex Maleev art right now, go ahead and do that wherever you guys are. If you guys are on your phones, check out his art on just different characters. Pull up any character and put Alex Maleev, M-A-L-E-E-V. The opening sequence starts off with Batman on a case looking into an exploded building, where he quickly learns that someone else is also in the building, same floor, same explosion. And he realizes this person's there, where we see a very interesting interaction between both of these characters now. And especially because they have a mutual friend that happens to be Superman, and how it's Lois Lane. And she tells him straight up, like, I don't trust you. It's like, my husband's off planet. He's like, yeah, I know. He told us he had to take care of something off world. And it's that's what it is. To see these characters, I haven't seen them interact since the Bat date. So Batman and Catwoman, that Tom King is writing about issue number, Batman number, 38, 39, I think. The date issues got introduced to Clark Kent, Superman, and Lois Lane. Was a great story and a little arc. So the fact that no one really trusts Batman and Lois Lane is a reporter, it is really cool to see this interaction. Anyways, so Batman finally asks, like, what the hell is going on? And she's like, I don't know. He's like, how did you get here? What, you don't trust me? I don't trust anyone. Which, again, a Batman answer. And now Lois Lane finally tries to figure out what's going on or who's behind this explosion at this particular building. Where is she? Where's Talia al Ghul? As next pages now jump into what's going down in all these secret wings of operation. Some government-sanctioned spots, buildings, and others off the grid, all getting infiltrated now, and also whole buildings going down, getting blown up from within their own ranks. Like, taking out each intelligence agency all over the world. So Argus, Cobra, Spiral, the Department of Extra Normal Operations, Task Force X, so Suicide Squad fans, Cadmus, each now just getting destroyed and dismantled. And Batman's like, this is happening all over. It's not just this singular building. So now it's Lois and him talking about, like, okay, well, who's behind this now? Like, who's in charge of Leviathan? Lois's first inclination is, it's Talia al Ghul. And he's like, no, it's not her method of operations, for modus operandi, I guess. So it's interesting to see these two characters, because Batman is, quote unquote, the greatest detective, and essentially so is Lois Lane in a weird way, because she's the top reporter that's always getting her nose dirty. That sounds terrible. So really cool to see this interaction, and just really cool to see how they're trying to figure out what this Leviathan is about, and how Leviathan was able to do all this to all these places at the same time, as they also kidnap Amanda Waller from her own home. Like, they're like, these fuckers are in deep. Who is it? How they even almost nearly killed Lois Lane's own father, who's in charge of Argus. That's his name is Sam Lane. It's an army cat. As they continue to have this doubtful interaction, they finally come across a third person in this building, and it happens to be Steve Trevor. If that name sounds familiar, it is Wonder Woman's boyfriend. That explains a few things to Batman, as now the three of them all try to figure out who's behind this attack. And Batman even says it could be Lex Luthor, but he always has ego behind his attacks, so it's really not him. And it's like, it's not Talia al Ghul because she's not this methodical. I mean, granted, she is. So he's just breaking down, like, who could it be? As he now runs into, and actually Steve Trevor goes into his accounts now of what exactly happened. So he's there on a mission, and it's a new facility that's put up. And this hooded, cloaked figure pops up out of the blue, comes out of a portal, and puts Steve Trevor in a bubble. And he's trying to protect everyone. And he essentially makes Steve Trevor watch as he destroys this building. So as Steve Trevor is in this cocoon bubble, he's able to survive. And that's where all these personalities, I guess, come into play. Because it's really weird because now no one really trusts anyone. And that's the whole thing behind this. And I'll explain that as well. So now it's, again, really cool to see they're going over who can be behind any of these things. So Talia, yes, it could be her. It could be anyone. It could be Lex Luthor. So now, even where Steve Trevor now is saying that he's Leviathan now, and so is Lois, and they're like, what do you mean you're Leviathan? It's like, they made me watch so I can spread the story or the word of what happened. So technically, if they didn't kill me, they're using me. So what good am I? And he's like, the same thing happened to you, Lois. Like, so that means you're fucking part of Leviathan too. So since Brian Michael Bendis has been on DC, he's been writing Action Comics. So the things he's been sprinkling in a bunch of titles or throughout that, you know, it's a DC event. So a lot of writers in their own stories for their own titles have been sprinkling in doubts. Like, your superheroes are getting seduced by this Leviathan. And the way Leviathan is hitting them up, it's like, you know, this is some bullshit that's going on. The eye in the sky doesn't need to be there. Like, you want to be more than a hero. Let's take out these facilities because it's all bullshit. Like, let's rage against the fucking machine. Like, let's burn it all fucking down. So we don't know who this hooded figure is. There's a lot of speculation that it could be, and I don't want to mention it out loud because check it out. If this character looks familiar to you at all, I'm pretty sure we're all thinking the same thing. So this is really cool. So again, the fact that they're kind of accusing each other of this. And one of the final ends of a dialogue is, entire pillars of our society have already been pulled down. Every government in the world is on lockdown. Every world leader is hiding in a bunker. Of course it doesn't end here. This is just clearing the deck. So they're trying to figure out what's going on and what is Leviathan's next move. Take out all the intelligence agencies to start a, I don't want to say new world order, but again, the way he's hitting up villains and superheroes, like, this is not the route you want to go. He's hit up Batgirl already. He's hitting up different characters. And even Damian Wayne has started his own underground prison system for villains, which is nuts to say, but it's Damian Wayne and he's a twisted kid. Anyways, so it was a good read. You haven't really hit DC in a while, so to go into an event and one that Brian Michael Bendis is writing, I really enjoyed it. He said it's going to be a straight up detective comic, and they're Green Arrow ends up jumping into the story at the end. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's cool. They're getting, we're going to try to get all the detectives together to work on this giant case. And the way Brian Michael Bendis said he's writing it is, it's going to be a legit case that he wants readers to solve along and find the clues and figure out who's behind this. He's like, it could possibly be a superhero. Actually, I have to believe that's what it is. So curious to see where it goes. I'm pretty sure I will review that again. All right, guys, it's been a long time. I try to keep it short and sweet, and that is short and as sweet as I can keep it. All right. If you guys like this, the podcast, subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, anywhere you guys can find podcasts for the most part. Go to thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Like us, share us, rate us, hit us up, hit me up on the side. I probably won't get back to you unless I have time, which I really don't. And back to the other two podcasts, Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is not going anywhere. As opposed to starting it on its own separate entity, it's going to stay on this feed for forever. And the Auto Chronicles is not going anywhere. I have a bunch of interviews lined up. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have lots of content each week still. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.